Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for this word, that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, to challenge us, to convict us. God, we pray that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, when you get hired at a job and you're the new guy, everybody knows it, right? You show up and every job that you've ever had has a certain culture to it. And what happens is that when there's a culture of a workplace, it's either there by design or it's there by default. And what do I mean by that is that they have a certain way in which they do things. And if you don't do it the right way, eventually someone's going to say to you like, hey man, you're not doing this the right way. And then you get squared away. Well, if you don't get squared away, what happens is that people either ostracize you or you go find somewhere else to work. Now, that being said, it's somewhat like that in a church in that we have a culture in the way in which we do things here. Some of it's by design, some of it's by default. There are certain things that you do and you don't do when you're in a Christian church that are universal throughout all churches. But God's design for you is that you would become part of his culture. His design is that you would mature in such a way that you would become like him. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the title of the message is To the Degree. And what do I mean by that is that all of us are maturing and all of us are expected to become like Christ, but we need to do it to the degree of where we're at. Amen? God isn't expecting you to act like you own the place when you just showed up for the first day of work, but God is asking that you would mature in such a way that he could use you more effectively in the ministry of his church. Amen? So we're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 3. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there with me if you would like, or your electronic devices. If your cell phone's on, you can turn it off. I want to welcome all the people that are watching online. Hello. Make sure you come to church every once in a while. Don't live your life in front of your computer. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, it says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Again, we've been going through the book of Philippians, and Paul is talking to the Philippian church here. And the Philippian church needs some sort of direction from Paul, and so Paul's writing a letter to him. And so as we read this book, we take it on our own and say, you know what? God wants to speak to Faith and Victory in the same way, so why don't we apply it to our own lives? Amen? So I want to get to the end of it before I go through it because it gives us kind of the umbrella in which we're going to operate from and where we get the title of the message, which is To the Degree. In this scripture, it says in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained. Now, earlier in the book of Philippians, we've talked about it. Paul said, not that I have already attained all of this. And it's an important part for us to understand as we're going through this, to understand that Paul's expectation was never one that said, I'm perfect, I'm arrived, be like me. It's one that says, you know what? I know what the standard is, and I'm going to say what the standard is, and I'm going to work towards the standard, even though I haven't met the standard myself. Does that make sense? God's truth is such is that God will ask us to do things that we have not yet attained, knowing that just the fact that if we know what the goal is, we can get there a whole lot easier than if we don't know what the goal is at all. Amen? And so this morning, as we talk about maturity, as we talk about moving forward in our faith, I want you to understand that I'm not coming from a position of perfection. I'm not coming from a position of saying, well, you know, I'm here, you guys should join me. I'm saying this is what the Word says, and we should all endeavor to the degree of where we're at today to try to achieve what God is asking us to achieve. Amen? Because the expectation of Paul is the same expectation of Jesus. Coming to Jesus is a one-time event. If you're here this morning, you've given your life to Jesus, you are saved, and God is inside of you. But that was a one-time event. The process of becoming like Christ is a lifetime endeavor. I've been serving Jesus for about 25 years now. I'm surely not like Jesus yet, but I'm surely not who I was 25 years ago. Incrementally, I am growing. I am becoming more and more like Christ with each passing year. The reality is, more than likely, I'm not going to become exactly like Jesus before I die because I'm never going to be perfect. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't keep walking on that road. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't keep yearning to be more like Christ and to keep growing. But to the degree that where I'm at, to the degree that I've already attained, I'm going to walk with Jesus. Amen? Some of you are not where you need to be, but bless God, you're not where you used to be. Amen? And here's the reality, folks. If you're sitting here this morning, you know more than nothing. But this idea that you have in your head that you cannot be used by God until you're perfect does not hold any water. I don't want you to sit here and say, well, I've been waiting to be used by God in the ministry. I've been waiting to be used by God in this church. But I'm waiting for perfection until I get to that point. None of us are perfect. None of us have achieved perfection. We're all just working with what we have at the point of where God has been able to work with us. Amen? Walk out your faith where it is today. Whatever level of faith that may be, some of you may not be able to walk on water, but you can still give a cup of water to somebody. Amen? That might be all the faith that you have to be able to give somebody a cup of water. Well, praise God. To the degree that you've attained, do that. Amen? But this is what I will say. If you are not seasoned in the faith or you don't know the word that much, I would encourage you to not try to teach other people what you don't know. Sometimes people say, well, you know, Pastor, we've never heard you preach about that. And the reason why I don't preach about that is because I don't know anything about that. And until I feel like I've known it well enough and I know God well enough, then I will bring it to you. I don't preach what I'm going through. I preach what I've gone through. And so once God's brought me through it, then I can bring it to you and say, this is of God. And, you know, the Bible says not many of you should presume to be teachers. And so it's dangerous when sometimes you try to get ahead of God and say, man, I've been serving Jesus for a weekend. I know everything to tell about the word and I'll tell you what it's about. You can get yourself and other people in trouble. There's nothing wrong with just sharing what you know. If all you know is I used to be a sinner and now I'm saved, that's all I can tell you, man. I was supposed to do laps in the lake of fire and I'm got a ticket to glory. That's all I know. I said, well, how many animals were on the ark? I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is that I used to be a sinner and now I got a Savior. Amen. I know I'm going to glory. Witness what you do know, and when you don't know, say, I don't know. Hey, nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. Now, here's part of it. To the degree that where you're at, you've got to line your life up with the Word. You've got to take the Word and say, you know what, I want to apply this thing to my life. I'm going to do everything that I can to line up my life with God's Word. And so every degree that you can attain to this Word is a new degree. Amen? It's something that God can change you more and more, that God can grow you more and more. You've got to take the side of the Word, even if your flesh does not agree with it. You cannot trust your flesh. You cannot trust that this dirty, nasty earth suit is going to lead you to good things, because it just doesn't. You've got to trust what the Word says. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are growing in the grace of God, you're growing. And that's a good thing. Growing small and growing slow is still growing. Amen? You don't have to be all super, super to be able to make it happen. You just have to be growing. You just have to allow God to grow you slowly and incrementally. Honestly, most people tell you that slow growth is better than fast growth, because fast growth doesn't usually stick. You know, when I talk to other pastors about our church and the growth of our church, a lot of churches will grow really fast, really early, and they don't really last. Our church has grown slowly and incrementally, and it's going to last because the people that are here want to be here. They're not here for the show. They're here because they want to know Jesus, and they love to worship Him. They love the people, and they do all those other things, and that is a good thing. It's been slow, but it's still good. Amen? You may not be where you need to be, but praise God, you're not where you used to be. Amen? In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, like I said. You've got to allow Him to grow you in the grace and the knowledge, though. If you're fighting Him at every turn, if you're not doing what He's asking you to do, you can't grow in knowledge if you can't get over the rudimentary things that God is just trying to teach you. You know, Paul was talking to this young man named Timothy, and he challenged him to grow in the Lord. He admonished him, and this is what he said in 1 Timothy 4:15. He said, Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Folks, you must give yourselves entirely to the things of God if you expect to grow in them. There is nothing that you can do in this world halfway and expect that it's going to go well. And walking with God is no different. If you come to this church on a regular basis, you will hear that I say this all the time because I mean it when I say it. God is not looking for people that are lukewarm. God is not looking for halfway Christians. He's not looking for someone to sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on their life and say, I'm doing a good job. God wants you to make a decision whether you're going to follow him wholeheartedly or not at all. There's no, they used to say back in the neighborhood, there's no such thing as a halfway crook. You can't be halfway for Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. You can't be a person that says, you know what, I want the blessings of God, but I don't want to fully follow God. I want everything that God has for me, but I'm not willing to give everything that God has given me. You're somewhere on your walk with God. Walk it out. Don't think that you can't be used by God. God, I am a living, breathing example that God can use anybody. Amen? God can use anybody who is willing to be used by God. And there's a degree that you have attained your faith, and you need to walk in it. You need to quit worrying and saying, you know what, I'll do it in the next year. I'll do it in a few years. I got to get myself squared away before I start to be used by God. No, to the degree that you have attained it, begin to have a mindset that says, God can use me where I am at. See, because what happens is oftentimes people are afraid to step out in faith or to walk out their faith because they feel like they're not where they need to be. And I know it. I know that there's times that you've said to yourself, man, I should say this or I should do this. But I just don't feel like I'm good enough. Like I shouldn't do that because I'm not as good as the next person. And the reason why I know that you felt this way is because I felt this way. Sometimes I still feel like that way. Like I feel like, man, what the heck am I doing here, man? Like, I don't know. I'm powerless to be able to lead you guys in this church. And I just, some days I'm just like, man, I really don't have what it takes, man. One day somebody's going to find out. And then where I'm going to be. What am I going to do if they find out that I don't really know what I'm doing? But do you know what it does? It brings me to my knees and I say, do you know what, God? I can't do this. And he goes, that's what I'm looking for. He doesn't want me going out on my own and being like, hey, God, I got this. I don't need you. I can go take care of it on my own. He wants the guy that doesn't know what he's doing, that has no hope of knowing what he's doing. And he says, you know what? That's someone I can use. That's someone that I can use for my glory because he's going to depend on me. He's not going to depend on himself. Can you serve people? Can you help people? Can you love people? Can you serve the church? Don't think about what you can't do. Think about what you can do. Because there's a ministry that God has inside of you that he wants you to be used by him to whatever degree of where you're at. Like if you're here and you love God, you're a lot farther along than about 95% of the people in Washington State, okay? You can do a whole lot more than you know. If you believe that God's word is true, even if you haven't read the whole thing, you don't understand it all, you say, man, I believe it's all true. I ain't got to the end yet, but I'll believe it's true when I get to that point yet too. God can use you. Amen? Second point is this, is that you've got to have maturity. You've got to have maturity to the degree of where you're at. Paul's expectation to the Philippian church is that they would have this mind. And he prefaces it by saying, as many as are mature. And I'm sure that Paul knew that within the Philippian church, that some were mature and some were not. And this mind that he wanted them all to have, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. If you're just joining us, you can go back and listen to the sermons. We talked about forgetting what was behind, realizing things behind us are of no good, how we press forward and we count all things as loss. We beware of the dogs and the supremacy of Christ. And Paul says, as many as are mature. See, Paul knew that in a church, everyone is growing. Every single one of us. Some of you have been serving God for a week. Some of you have been serving God for 40 years. So that means that some of you should be more mature than those that have been serving God for a week. You should. But you've got to have an understanding that not everybody is where you're at. I always tell people, man, the expectation is give people the same amount of time to mature as it took God to mature you.
Don't expect it. Oh, man, it took me 20 years. Why is it taking you 2 weeks? Right? Some of y'all, it took 20 years for God to finally get you to do what you know that you needed to do. Paul's expectation was that the mature in the church should lead the charge in the renewal of the mind to the degree of where they had attained. See, the problem is that some people within the church haven't matured in their faith. And when I say the church, I say globally, but hey, if the shoe fits, it could be you this morning too. Some people serve God for 20 or 30 years and are no farther along than the day they got saved. They haven't applied the word to their life. They haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to change them. They've just basically thought and said, well, I signed up for Jesus on the first day and that's fine. But that's not the expectation. Like, that's not what God is looking for. God's looking for mature saints. He's looking for people that are going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God so that when those new saints are in the room, they can minister to them and say, do you know what? Let me help you. I was where you were at, and let me show you how God helped me to mature in my faith. Because the reality is that when you first got saved and you didn't know any better, after 20 years of following God, you should have a little bit more faith than you had then because you should have seen God move by then. And I don't mean to be prideful as much as I'm just sharing an example here, is that there's been things in my life that I don't have to believe for anymore. I don't even have to have faith for it anymore. I've moved from faith to knowledge. I know that God's going to do it. I don't even worry about it anymore. If you say, well, how do you do that? I've seen him move so many times, I don't have to worry anymore. I don't say, oh, man, I wonder if God's going to do this. I say, man, I know God's going to do this. Say, how do you know? He's done it so many times. I talk to other pastors and they're like, man, pray for my church. We need, you know, the offering is down and all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, do you pray about your offering? I don't pray about the offering in our church anymore. I don't have to. It's been 12 years. Every single month we've paid for every bill in cash for 12 years. God's showing up every single month. Now, do I thank him for it? I thank him for it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't worry whether or not the bills are going to get paid. We don't have to worry about it. God has shown himself faithful. If you've been going here for 12 years, you've heard me. I've never asked for a second offering. We've never said we didn't pay a bill. That's because God is faithful. I know that he's faithful. I don't worry about whether or not I'm going to get paid. I've gotten paid every single time that I've ever needed a paycheck ever since I've been working. Always. I know I'm going to eat. I don't have to worry about whether or not I know I'm going to eat. You know what I mean? But I need to mature, man. Can I move on to bigger things? Things that I haven't seen God move in yet? Heirs, I say, man, I don't know. I haven't seen somebody get out of a wheelchair yet, but bless God. I'm going to believe God for that. Amen. And then once I see that happen, I'm going to be on from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Our church, we're going to go out. We're going to plant new churches. Never done that before. But by the grace of God, we're going to do it. We're going to believe God for it. But once I've seen him do it, I don't have to wonder anymore. I know because I've matured in my faith. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, even the world will tell you that you need to grow up. If you are sitting here in this room and you are an adult, it's time to grow up. Like, when I had my first job as a kid, and I had a bunch of different jobs, but when you were a kid and you would get that first paycheck and you'd go out and blow it, right? You'd run down to the mall and as fast as possible, you would spend it. You'd come home and your mom or dad would say, what did you do with your money? And like, man, I don't know. I was just down at the mall. I was down eating pizza and playing video games and, you know, buying stuff I didn't need. And then you'd ask your parents for money a week later to go to the movies and they'd be like, you spent your money. Come on now. Anybody else do that? If you're still doing that as an adult, it's time to move on. Like, I don't understand why it is, but I have just as much money in my pocket as an adult as I did as a child. Because all of my money is going to bills, taking care of family and kids and shoes and fun stuff like heat. Right? That's called growing up. You take care of stuff like that, you know, paying for water and toilet paper. You know, when you're a kid, you just think it magically appears. You're an adult and you're like, you get two squares, kid. That's all you get. Throughout Paul's letters, he always encouraged maturity in faith, moving forward, growing. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in understanding,
However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. What does he mean by that? As we grow up in the faith, we're still going to struggle with sin. But when we struggle with sin, it's as a baby. It's not as a mature Christian. Our knowledge should increase, where we're able to quickly go around this cycle where we understand immediately that we've fallen into sin. Not because here's the problem, right? We fall into sin, and then you walk down the road, and you're just like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm doing down here. That's what babies do, right? When you're mature, the moment that there's one degree of variance to the walk with God, there should be a prick in your spirit that goes, oh, that's not of God. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be taking part in that. I was really praying about this, and God gave me two spiritual words to share with you about how to apply this scripture to your life. Grow up. Grow up. Quit pretending that you haven't been serving God longer than a weekend and grow up. Like some of you here this morning have been serving God longer than I've been alive. Some of y'all have been serving God longer than I've been a pastor. And I believe that God is speaking to you this morning and saying, man, would you please grow up? Like, would there be a point where you'd finally say, do you know what? I know better. Like, I know I should do this. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't be a part of this. For the life of me, I can't understand why people want to live like the devil, expect that God is going to bless them, and then get upset and say, why is God not blessing me? You know better, man. How do you not know better? Like, even the world can tell you and look at your life and say, man, if you do that, it ain't going to end well. And then for some reason you do that, and then you go to God and say, God, why are you forsaking me? Why have you ruined my life? God didn't ruin nothing. You ruined it. You went down the wrong path. You're on the wrong path away from God and shaking your fist at God like, God, why have you done this to me? God's like, I didn't do nothing. I've given you life and death, and you chose death. And then you get mad at me because you chose death? The reality is that you know the path that you should go on. You just need to walk in it. It's interesting, and I've said this many times. I've never met a person who fully follows God in every area of their life who isn't blessed, ever. And somehow somebody who knows the truth, knows exactly where they need to be and what they need to do, will look at it and say, well, I'm not so sure if I should fully follow God in this thing. Say amen if you know someone like that. Not you guys, it's for someone else. You know what I mean? And then again, man, I'll lay on the coals myself. I know this kind of stuff because it's happened in my own life. I choose the wrong path and then I get the wrong stuff. I choose the right path, I get the right stuff. And then we say, well, God, well, when are you going to grow me up? Well, growth comes when you start making good godly decisions and you mature. The things you can get away with as a kid are not the things you can get away with as an adult. You know, I don't know if you ever go to the supermarket, go to the checkout line, right? And it's funny, little kids can get away with stuff. You know, I don't know if you noticed, I'm like 6'5", weigh about 245 pounds, right? And if I was at a grocery store and I was going like this in the aisle, right? Just walking around, just touching people. Dude, they call the cops. You know what I mean? They'd be like, we've got someone on aisle 4. Bald head, 6'5". Because eventually you can't just stand in the aisles and swing your arms. You know what I mean? It's just a societal no-no, okay? If you want to do that, God be with you. I'll come visit you when you're in jail. But there's a point of maturity. And as Christians, it's no different. We got to grow up. We can't just be Christians that say, well, I never want to grow up into the things of God, or I never want to have faith that's going to move mountains. I don't want to do big things for God. God wants you to mature. I want to show you this in Hebrews chapter 6. I like this verse. It's going to be up behind me here in a second here, but I like to read it from the Bible so you guys don't think that I'm making it up. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now, what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is that there's got to be a point where you just move on past the basics, right? And as a pastor and as a guy who's been following God for 25 years, there are some things that there is no point in you trying to convince me otherwise. It's settled. Like, Jesus rose from the dead. God's a healer. God's a provider. You know, everybody needs to be baptized that follows Jesus. We're all going to rise from the dead one day in Christ. Like, those are elementary things that people that follow Christ should just know. Like, we should be able to move on those things. But what happens is that people don't, it's like they don't want to settle those things in their spirit so that they never have to move on to more mature things. So they'll sit around those things like, well, you know, I read this blog from this guy that doesn't know anything, and so he really changed the way that I thought about some of the basics of Christianity that have been solid for 2,000 years, but somehow this guy that doesn't even know God or his word can convince me otherwise. This is what people do. They think that these orthodox things of who we are in Christ somehow magically changed in 2016. And that's just not who we are at all, folks. Folks, the Bible is constantly prodding us to move closer to Jesus and away from the basics. That's what the Bible is asking us to do. The Bible is constantly trying to move us to new levels of maturity, but a lot of people can't get past the basics. They're still going around the same mountains dealing with the same things. People that are struggling with addiction or marital problems or money problems or relationship problems. And they're Christians. They're followers of Christ, and they still can't move past basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Still wanting to split hairs about stuff that was decided long, long ago. And I get it, man. You've got to study this stuff out. You've got to become fully convinced in your own mind of what God's word says. Don't take it on my word. Take it on God's word. If I say something here that you don't agree with, go and study it out in God's word and let God convince you. But if you've been going around the same mountains your whole entire life, even after you got saved, you've got to take a moment to just kind of think and say, man, is this God's problem or is this my problem? Like, if I've been going around the same mountain because I'm choosing to go around the same mountain? Like, if you go down to the water, you're going to get wet. Don't go down to the lake and get upset that you got wet. If you're fully clothed, someone's going to throw you in as a funny joke. And be like, this ain't funny, man. I didn't want to get wet. Then you should have stayed away from the lake. Right? I've said this once. I've said it 100 times. I don't go donut shopping to look. What good is that? I'm on a no donut kick right now. I'm trying to not eat any donuts for the next few months. But I tell you, man, I'm not going down there to window shop. Because if I go down there, by the grace of God, I'm going to get me about 2 or 7, you know? Such it is with sin. There's no window shopping in sin. If you go looking in the window, you're going to buy. So you've got to realize, if I go down to that window, I'm going to buy. What is the point in me going down to the window? Nobody put you in the back of the car and drove you down there. You made the decision. You drove down there. You said, man, for some reason, I just want to go make sure if it's just as bad as it used to be. Some of y'all got to learn the hard way. There's got to be a point where you settle in your mind and move on. And why don't most people mature? Because they're afraid of what maturity looks like. It's a whole lot easier to be the dumb guy. A lot of people just want to be the dumb guy in the room and say, well, I just didn't know any better. How could I have known? Right? That's how people... I used to have a bunch of different jobs when I was a kid in college and when I got out of the Army. I worked at I've cleaned bathrooms. I've done paperwork. I've sold stuff. I've worked at pizza joints. I was in the Army. I worked at a college. I mean, I did a bunch of stuff. Now, before the Army, when I was a child, younger, I always had this mindset when I was at a job that I never wanted to do the hard stuff because I knew that I wasn't going to stay at that job that long. Like, I remember I worked at this pizza joint and food service. They got this thing where they say, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Right? Food service. Anybody heard that before? Time to lean, time to clean. Now, at a pizza joint, when you got time to clean, it's not like, would you sweep the floor? It's like, move out the workstation and clean out the old crusty cheese that's been back there for the last 2 years. Yeah. And nobody wants to do that, man. Nobody's like, yeah, man, can I do that, Mr. Manager? That's what I'd like to do. And so when I had that job, whenever they asked me to do that, I'd be like, yeah, no problem. Then I'd go in the back and we'd be like flipping towels and having water fights and stuff, you know, because in the back of my mind, I said, dude, I'm not going to work at this pizza joint the rest of my life. I'm just going to look busy and try to act like I care long enough to keep getting a paycheck until the end of the summer when I quit and I'm going off to college. You guys probably never had these minds before. I wasn't invested. I was like, what do I care? I'm not going to, it's It's not my name on the door. I'm not going to do anything, so I'm just going to cut corners. Come on now, anybody else? Man, you guys need Jesus. And so, now, when I got the army, they kind of broke me of that because people's lives were at stake, so you can't really cut those type of corners. But what happens is that people take that mentality when they come into church. And then what happens is that God moves you to a point where he's like, mature and grow, and then you leave. You just leave the church. You're like, man, that got too intense, man. They wanted me to change something about me, and I'm not changing that. And then you just go to another church, and then it comes to a point where it's like, oh, decision time, got to change. And then you're like, I ain't going to change. I'm going to go find somewhere else. Never have this mentality that says, you know what? I know that God wants to change me, and I'm going to do whatever it is that he needs to do inside of me. Holy Spirit, do have your way in my life. Uncomfortable, nasty, dirty, whatever it is, man. Have your way in me, Holy Spirit. Me and Crystal have said many times, there's only two things that happen when you come under the power of God. You either change or you leave. There is no opportunity for anything in between it. And maturity is realizing, like, I'm here to grow. Like, it's going to be painful and it's going to be nasty and somebody might get something on them. But you know what? I'm going to grow. And I just want to tell you right now, if this is your church, if you're at Faith and Victory, nobody, including myself, demands perfection of you. Nobody. And the reason why is because I sure as hope you don't demand perfection from me, because I'm far from perfect. I'm going to fail and I'm going to mess up and I'm going to do things wrong. And I want to extend to you the same grace I hope that you would extend to me. And it's that's the heart of God, though. God isn't looking for perfection. He's just looking for incremental growth. Amen. But you've got to show up if you want to grow up. Amen. You can't expect that that if you don't even show up, that you're going to grow up. Can I share with you guys another story? Is that all right? Crystal and I like to go to the gym. I was picking on her first service. She had to take off. My son's got a fever. You can pray for him. But I'll pick on her even better with her not being here. Amen. My wife absolutely loves to exercise and go to the gym. Me, I absolutely love sitting around and eating foods that are high in calories. And so, like, my wife, like, and people say, oh, man, you guys go to the gym together. That's so great. It's under duress. Like, it really is. And so my wife and I, we go to the gym together, and she really loves to sweat and work out. Dude, I love to talk. It's awesome. So I'll go to the gym. She'll be working out. I'll be over doing ministry. You know what I mean? Like, going and talking to my gym friends, my gym buddies, whatever. And Crystal always busts my chops about it. She's always like, you know, we could get out of here a lot faster if you weren't talking so much. And I'm like, well, I like to talk to people. You know what I mean? That's kind of who I am. So we go around and talk to people. And she's like, I'm working out. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, talking to people. But what I always say to my wife in those moments, I say, you know what, honey? I've done 100% more than if I did nothing at all. You know what I'm saying? If I didn't even go, I would do nothing. But at least I showed up. I mean, sure, I did half the workout, but half the workout is 100% more than nothing. Leave me alone, you know? It's no different in our spiritual walk, man. It's no different. I challenge you. I encourage you, show up to church every Sunday and Wednesday for one whole year and then tell me you didn't grow. You can come in, sit in the back with your arms folded. No offense to anybody in the back. You can, my back people, you can sit back there with your arms folded, never sing a song, and never amen me and grow. Just, you can. It's impossible to not grow when you're sitting around worshiping the word. It's impossible. People will even talk to you in your defiance. Love on you as you're angry about it. Ephesians 4:14 and 15. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. You know, when you're grounded in the word, you're never led astray. That's why I'm always like, word, word, word. And all these newfangled fog machine people are like, God's changed and we're showing you a new thing. Stick with what you know, man. Just the basics of Christian doctrine. I always tell people, man, I want to scream what the Bible screams and whisper what the Bible whispers. And if there's things that I'm not that sure about, man, I'm going to whisper it. But the things that I am sure about, I'm going to scream about it. Amen?
Here's the third point. Listen to the Holy Spirit to the degree where you're at. Here's the, as a follower of Christ, you never stop growing. Paul says, have this mind, and if anything, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. See, Paul knew that people were just going to be people. And even back then, I'm sure that there was a defiant young man, probably looked like me, who said, I ain't going along. I ain't doing that, Paul. That sounds dumb. And you know what Paul would say to a guy like me? Don't worry, God will tell you. God will reveal it to you. Because, you know, the truth is, when God reveals it to you, you'll never change. Because the Holy Spirit brought the conviction. The Holy Spirit told you to do it so that you know that you're going to do it. And so Paul's confidence is like, hey, man, if it's not enough for me to convince you, I'm totally fine that God will convince you. Because when God convinces you, there's no turning back. God isn't going to be able to stop you from doing it once he's already told you. The ability for God to change a believer's mind, folks, it's a gospel truth. It's a gospel truth that God will change things inside of you that you never thought possible for him to change, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. Some of you might find it odd that when I first started following Jesus, I got saved, I was excited about Jesus, reading his word, but I ended up at a church where people raised their hands to worship. Some of you guys heard this story before, but some of you haven't. I declared more than anything, I would never raise my hands in worship. I don't have to tell you how it ends. But I said, man, those people look like idiots. Bunch of hand raisers, bunch of weirdos. I declare, I will never, ever, ever do that. Ever. God kind of had his way with me. You know what, it's funny, I'll tell you a story. So I started as a hand raiser probably about 17 or 18 years old. I got the infection, right? Once you catch the infection, man, you can't help it. It's like zombies. It's like you can't keep the arms down, man. It's ridiculous. And then I ended up at Seattle Pacific. That's where I went to college. And I want to be honest with you guys, man. Like, do I enjoy being up in front of people speaking? Yeah, of course. I'm kind of an extrovert. But I'm still, you laugh like it's surprised. But I'm still self-conscious. I care about what people think about me. I overthink, like, what I wear, what I'm going to say, or what my hair looks like. Like, I'm self-conscious. I don't want to look like an idiot. And so I remember when I went to SPU, and I was in a whole entire room of non-hand raisers. There's probably about 1,000 people in the room, and nobody was raising their hand. I've been a hand raiser for like 2 years, and it was go time, right? It's like, dude, you're either going to be the tall dude raising his hands, or you're never going to do it, right? And you know, it's funny how God works. I never knew this. So when I was going to SPU, there was this guy, and I didn't even know his name, but he was in a wheelchair. And he was over on the other side of the room. And from a distance, I seen this dude sitting in a wheelchair. I'll tell you what his name was. His name was Kevin. Yeah. And I looked at that dude, and I thought, man, I bet you he'd like to stand up and raise his hands. I literally did.
Yeah.
Did I never in no way, shape, or form thought, you know what, one day that dude's going to come to my church and I'll pick on him in service. Because, I mean, y'all been only coming here for about a year or so, finally got saved and decided to come to church. Oh. But I looked over at Kevin sitting in his chair and I thought, how can I not?
Yeah.
How can I not? God will do whatever he needs to do to get you to what he needs to do. Then you're the funny looking 6'5" guy, crying before God. God says, man, do you trust me enough? Do you love me enough? Do you want to show my glory enough? How much did I actually save you from? How much did I actually change your life from? 1 John 2:27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointed teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and is just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Folks, if you are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak to you about things that God is asking you to do. And I will tell you right now, 100% of the time, they will always line up with the Word of God. When God is asking you to do something and it does not line up with Scripture, it is not God. But if you are in Christ, you're a follower of Christ Jesus, God will speak things to you by His Spirit, And they will always line up with his word. And people say, well, then why doesn't he just tell you in the word? Well, you read it the first time and you didn't do what it said. So now he got to go to DEFCON 2. Now he's going to talk to you about it and tell you to do it or not to do it. And then you're like, God, is this you? And then you go back and you're like, man, it is you. This was you talking to me. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal those types of truth to you to get you back in line with what the Bible says. See, the truth is that I know when people know the God of the Bible. And I know when they don't. People say, well, that's kind of prideful, isn't it? No, it's not. I know someone who is a Christian and someone who's not. I know people that are trying to fake the funk and people that aren't. I really do. Yeah, fake the funk. That's what the kids are saying nowadays. I know it. Mind you, 1996 or something. That's fine. I just dated myself. Gosh, we're getting old. I don't know what they say. But here's the deal, man, is that like, and I've said this before. God has the ability to change the way in which you live, but it always lines up with his word. Amen. And I say that over and over because people that don't know God's word don't know God. See, what some of you don't know is that when I read this Bible, it changed me. I was not raised in a Bible-believing home. I love my mom. She's a great woman. But we never read the Bible in my home. My mom, if she was here, and I'd say this if she was sitting here right this morning, my mom and I do not agree politically, spiritually, economically. We don't even look through the world through the same lens. And my mom will say to me, how did I end up with a son such as you? She'll say that to me because I don't agree with her. And the difference is this. I got saved and I started to read this thing. And I didn't know much when I got saved. I had never read the Bible. Then when I got saved and some dude said, I said, well, so what do I do now? He says, get a Bible, read it, and do what it says. I was like, well, man, that sounds like a pretty good plan. And so whenever time I read something that's not what I'm doing, I'm like, well, I probably shouldn't do that anymore if I want to line myself up with what this word says. You know, it's pretty clear that the Bible says things like you shouldn't do certain things. Now, me, I know my flesh. My flesh loves sexual immorality, drunkenness, murder, thievery, lust, anger. And some of you are like, really? Like, yes. If I wasn't a Christian, I would hurt you. I'm serious. Come on, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan knows it. Man, I would just, gosh, it would just be, if I could just get one day. And it wouldn't be halfway, it would be full on. Because that's what this flesh wants. The spirit man's been renewed and now can fight this flesh. And so when that fleshly anger comes up, I'm able to go, wait, you're not of God. We're not going to follow what you say. We're going to follow what the word says. That's like that with anything else. It's fighting of the flesh. It's realizing that your mind has been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit and now should detest those things. Romans 12:2, and to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Folks, you must have your mind renewed if you're going to mature in Christ. You can't think like you used to think and expect that God is going to be able to do new things in you. The Bible says that God will reveal even this. I caught it from her. Will reveal even this to you. I'm not God. Amen. I appreciate that. I'm far from it. But Pastor Todd, and he's not here this morning, Rhonda had a chance to go lead worship at a church today, so she went and do that. It was a great opportunity for them. But in the current situation that we're at, I'm technically Todd's boss. And so when I'm not around, Todd has known me well enough. Actually, I'll pick on Amber since Amber's here. She was in the front row. Amber has been working for me for, what, 6 or 7 years or something like that? So you were on your phone, and now you're all messed up. And so, but you've known me. I know you're tweeting. Jeez. I should pick on Todd because he can't fight back. And so, but Amber and Todd, it's the same thing, is that you've been working for me long enough that you know what I like and what I don't like. She'll call me up and say, is it okay if I spend $25 on this in the children's ministry? And some of you would say, man, that's kind of mean, isn't it? No, it's not. It's because she knows that I care about where Jesus' money is being spent. And so when I show up and something's been bought that I don't know about, the first words out of my mouth is, how much did it cost and who authorized this? Yeah. And I'm a not trying to be mean, but she's been around me enough to realize that's what I care about. She says, and so if somebody comes in and says, hey, can we buy this? She says, we should probably check with Pastor Matt because he ain't going to like it if this shows up and we didn't ask whether or not we could buy this or not. I'm not trying to be overlord. I'm just saying that, like, when you spend time with someone, you know what they like and what they don't like, right? I can show up to Amber and I can get her to do anything for my kids if it comes with a Starbucks. Like, if I say, hey, will you watch my kids? And at Starbucks, she's like, yes. She'd do it without it. She would do it without it. But Amber loves her Starbucks, man. She loves it. I know her. When you know God, you know what his heart is. You don't need someone to say, like, man, I don't think you should do that. Like, you know the word of the Lord. You know the God's spirit. You know that he'd say, well, I wouldn't recommend that you would do that at all. And then you go with that. Amen. Follow what the Holy Spirit tells you. Another scripture, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. Can I have just a few more minutes? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I got a fourth point. I just don't want you to miss it. And here's the deal. I want to talk to you about unity in the Christian church because I think it's so important. And for those of you that are visiting here this morning, I don't want you to think because I'm talking about unity that we have a problem with unity in our church, because we don't. We don't have backbiting, gossiping, fighting. Our church does really a good job of staying unified. But if it's in the scripture, we're going to talk about it. Okay? We're going to talk about it. Unity is a big deal to Paul, not just in scripture, but in many scriptures. He encourages the unity of the saints. Here he says, be of the same mind. Paul knew that each one of us, intrinsically, little disagreements can turn into big problems if you let them. Little disagreements can turn into big problems. You know, just this last week, did you notice that the stage was changed? Yeah, how many of you voted on it? None of you. And do you know how many people complained about it? None of you. And that's the things that we're talking about. The stuff that breaks churches apart, it's never the big stuff, it's the little stuff, right? They're like, well, why'd you leave the church? No, they moved the drum set, man. We were there all these years. I mean, for 10 years, it was on the right side of the stage. And one day, we moved to the left. I was like, that ain't my church anymore. I'm out of here. They didn't even ask me. You know, the truth is, they didn't really ask me either. They told me. They were like, hey, man, we're moving the drum set over there, and we're going to put in sound panels. It's going to sound better, look better, and it's going to be quieter. And I'm like, I'm all for it. And the truth is, it worked, right? It was great. I mean, it's better than it's ever been. I mean, this is the biggest drum set this side of the Mississippi, but it works. Why do I share that story with you? Is that when we're in unity, we can move past small things and do big things. If we can learn to get along on small stuff, we can learn to get along on big stuff. Paul says, be of the same mind, and that's in light of those who are mature. Those of you that have been serving God longer than I have, we need you to show maturity and showing unity to the degree. Just being unified on the things that you can be at the stage that you're at. And God will reveal if there's an area of your life that needs to be fixed as far as unity is concerned. God will use whatever he needs to do to get you back into unity. It says in 1 Peter 3, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. The Bible repeatedly calls for unity amongst the brethren, so that God may accomplish his work through us. Lots of people do not come to church because of the way that Christians treat each other. And so when people come in and they see us fighting and backbiting and gossiping and doing all these bad things, they say, well, why would I want to sign up for that? But when we come together in love and we show forgiveness and love and all these things to each other, the world comes in and says, man, there's something special in there because they can overcome their differences and they can be from different backgrounds and different socioeconomic backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, and God can do something in their midst. We say to the world, well, what we have is more powerful than anything you've ever seen. It's the blood of Christ. I'll leave you with a story before we get out of here. So when you're public speaking, if you ever get a chance to name drop, please do it because it makes you seem special when you're talking to people, right? That's a joke. You should laugh. So this week I was talking to a guy I know that's in the NFL. Yeah, wasn't that good? Was that good? Was that shameless? It's not that big of a deal. Many of you know that there's a kid from Auburn that went to the NFL. He was a first-round draft pick. And I happened to see him this week. And we met under circumstances that neither one of us were expecting to see each other, which was kind of cool. And so I saw him. And honestly, I probably know him better than he knows me. I was like, hey, my name is Matt Krachunas. You may remember me. And he was like, like Young Life. He's like, oh yeah, because I'm actually more friends with his brother. But we were talking, we're hanging out, and
And I was, you know, it's cool, right? I mean, first round draft pick in the NFL, he's the only guy I've ever known like that. And so I'm just a student. So I'm like, well, tell me about it, man. How's it been? And he was talking and he said, you know, it's not as good as I thought it was going to be. Or he said, it wasn't what I expected. I said, well, what were you expecting? He said, I really thought that there was going to be a more of a team atmosphere, but everybody is individuals. Well, it's interesting when you know the team that he plays for, why they didn't win any games this year. And I won't say what team it is, but it rhymes with Reeveland, right? And he's not that way at all. I mean, his thought is, man, we want to be a team. We want to get together. That's why Auburn High did so well when he was there, because he's a unifier. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Bunch of individuals can't do anything, but a team together, we can accomplish great things for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up? Let's get out of this place. Stand up, grab the hand of the person you're standing next to.